second. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter's. So as you all know, we just got back from Puerto Rico, and it was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. The people there were just so friendly and nice, and they just made us feel so welcome. So basically our days were wake up, eat breakfast, go to work, hit the beach, and at the end of the day, we'd have a Devo. And I think it was Will's turn to do the Devo, and he started off by asking us a question. He said, "Why are you here?" When I first heard this, I thought to myself, "I don't know," like I always do when someone asks me a question. But then I started thinking to myself, why am I here? Before going to Puerto Rico, I was sort of struggling with my faith. I was wanting to fall back into the patterns of the world. So going on this trip, I was sort of hoping to get some encouragement while I was there. And I did. Just having Brooklyn and Julie tell their story and being surrounded by friends was just an awesome experience. And the point I wanted to make here is, one second. If you're ever feeling alone or feeling like giving up, just know that God has a plan for you, that you have a purpose. And I know for me, one of those isn't being a translator. And I just want to end off by reading this. It's a psalm that Doug shared with us whenever he felt alone. And I thought it was pretty cool. It's Psalm 22. It's a pretty long one. It goes, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you, and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, 'Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near, and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joints. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like some baked clay. My tongue sticks on the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaw and from the horns of these wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All my families of the nations will bow down before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done." So, that's.
One of the greatest sins in missions is believing that what you have to bring is the most important thing. And it's very difficult not to do that. You know, it's very difficult going on a mission trip and not feel that what you have to bring is important, if not the most important, whether that be service. And it wasn't like when we went to Puerto Rico, we were surprised by what we were doing. That was described to us in detail, that we were going to be working. And what Luis said made you think that we worked for a little bit and then we went to the beach most of the day. That is not how it worked. We worked 8-hour days. And so we had lunches and we went back to work. One day we had to work at 7, which was ridiculous because they did not care how much sleep we got. They worked us, and it was beautiful. But believing that our work, our service, was the most important part of that trip, and what made this such a powerful experience, I believe, for all of us, and something that I heard throughout all of our devotions, it was that hospitality is one of the most effective mission tools that we have. So we went there, and I'm going to throw Luis under the bus here, because Luis barely says anything, but when he's in Puerto Rico, good grief, like he's talking to everybody. And we had this squad of Puerto Rican grandmas cook us meals, and that was their job. They fed us, and they fed us. They were going to try to kill us with the amount of food that they fed us. And it was amazing, and it was uplifting just to see their service. They loved Luis. Luis had them wrapped around his finger. They loved Luis. They thought he was an angel. They absolutely loved that guy. That squad of Puerto Rican women that cooked for us, that loved us, I felt like as we were leaving, that was real mission work, what they were doing for us. What we were doing was easy, laying tile, sacrificing our time, sweating, sometimes bleeding. All that stuff is really easy to do. Anybody can do it. We can prove that anybody can do it. If Doug, myself, and Will can lay tile, then anybody can literally lay tile. But cook for us, open up their homes to us, allow us into their churches, give us so much freedom and trust. That is difficult. That is very hard to do. And when we do this for other groups, the youth forum that comes up in October, it's the same thing. When we accept kids and we bring them into our house, into our homes, and we feed them, that's the hospitality. That's the love. They come away with, yes, maybe the speaker. But the next sentence after that is the places they stayed, the hospitality that was shown them. You cannot get away from the effectiveness of hospitality. And you can't forget inhospitable people. You can't forget when people deny you hospitality. When instead of opening their homes, they deny you entry. Instead of giving you words of comfort, of acceptance, they offer judgment and insult. Instead of offering you food, they give you nothing. That is difficult to forgive. So when we went to Puerto Rico, and you're going to be hearing stories, don't worry, we've got them all coming, and I don't want to spoil most of them. April 17th, we'll have the morning service, where the people from Puerto Rico will get up and lead the service. And then Sunday night, we'll have our slideshow, pictures, all the funny stories that you could possibly imagine, because there are many, 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 many funny stories. But I want you to hear first, and you're going to hear this again, the hospitality that was shown to us there was a miracle. And it truly was. It was a miracle. The friendships that were made instantly. I'll tell you this about your group, and I'll do some godly bragging about the nine people that I brought with me. So we had this girl these two girls that were a part of our group instantly. They were sisters. One was 17 and the other was 19, Gabby and Adriana. And so they were talking to us on our way to one of our first trips that we did. So we got there on Saturday, and we slept because we have been traveling since 1 o'clock in the morning. And so we slept, and then the next day we went to what's called the Window Cave. And so we met this girl, Adriana, on Saturday. And so we immediately invited her. We're going up to the Window Cave. Will you come with us? She was okay. She was a little open. She was a very, a very accepting girl, but she was a little withdrawn. So she said, okay, I'll go with you. And when she was on this trip, she said something that I thought was really interesting. She said, usually when groups come to Puerto Rico, come to Arecibo, which is where we were at, it takes a day to 2 days to get to know this group, to feel comfortable around this group. And she said, I was comfortable with you guys instantly. And I thought, man, hospitality works again. Acceptance works again. Instead of speaking judgment, instead of being harsh, we were loving, and it worked again. And it's not surprising, because I want to read to you what Jesus said about this. It's in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 29. It says, Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And that's an easy command to give, to love God. Because no one can look at that love and judge it wrongly, because you're loving God. It's an invisible being. We see the aspects of God, but in general, it's an invisible being. It's not like we can give physical gifts to him. We can sing and praise and pray, and we can serve. But again, it's very difficult to look at somebody else and say, the way that you are loving God is wrong. And so it's easy for us to hear, love the Lord your God. This is an important rule. This is an important law. We hear this in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Where he repeats the same thing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God. It's easy. I believe the difficult part is verse 31. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Sometimes I wish he hadn't connected those two. Sometimes I wish he would have kept the love the Lord your God and then ended it. I wish he'd have done that. But instead, he puts a second. It's impossible to love just God and to hate people. To love God is to love people. To serve God is to serve people. You can't separate them. Jesus sees them as so closely connected that they're almost the same. Love the Lord your God. And the second is just as important. Love people. You're going to be hearing this a lot, hopefully from the young adults and hopefully from everybody. That the hospitality that was shown to us in Puerto Rico, we can do here. And we have done here. And I want to encourage us to continue doing that. To don't forget to open your homes, to open your hearts to others. As people visit us and as people are visited by us, that we accept them. And above all, that we feed them. That's the most important thing I learned in Puerto Rico, that we feed everybody. I'm thankful for Luis. I'm thankful for Doug. I'm thankful for Will and all the others that came. Because they spoke to me, they spoke to the people there in Puerto Rico, and were amazing. They were incredible. And I believe that this is, not only will this hopefully impact the congregation, but that we see the ripples of this affecting us throughout the rest of the year. So please, if you have any needs, if you need any service, if absolutely anything, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.